ever. So whatever you're going through, stand on the word of God today. Maybe you came looking for a word from the Lord. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're grieving. Maybe you're being tempted. Maybe there's a fight. Maybe there's a struggle. Maybe there's a problem. Mountain seems too tall. The river seems too wide. Doesn't seem like you're going to make it. Well, greater is He. Listen. Greater is He. Not that's around me. It's not like God is around me, and He is. He's all present. I'm nigh present. But greater is He that is in me. There's something going on in me that produces something that comes out of me. And when something gets in you, it's got to come out of you. And maybe you bottlenecked your own spirit. Maybe your victory is just around the corner, but you bottlenecked it because you're afraid about what somebody else is going to think of you. You know what? No one thought a whole lot of me before I got saved. So I really don't care what they think about me after I get saved. I didn't have nothing before I found Jesus. I mean, when I got Jesus, I got everything I need. I got everything I need. Everything I need is wrapped up in Jesus. I'm telling you what I know. How many came to the service today saying, God, I'm looking for You to give me something. Help me, sustain me. Told you the song I've been singing. Rejoice, for the steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Right? And in the time of trouble, He will uphold me. He will preserve me. He will sustain me. He will lift me up. The only way He's going to lift me up is if I go down and humble myself and say, God, I need You. So would you just put your hands in the air and say, God, I need You. I need You. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough wisdom. I don't have enough training. I don't have enough vocabulary. I don't have enough intellect. I don't have enough power. I have no control. I can't even control my own life, much less trying to control somebody else's. God, I need You. I need You. I don't want just a little bit of You. I need all of You, God. And whatever You have for us today, we open ourselves to receive from You. Here's a promise for you. If you'll open yourself to receive from the Lord today, I promise you, He will fill you up. He will fill you up. It's the truth. It's the promise of the Lord. We are so excited this morning. Can't wait to preach, but I have to have our friend to come and share with you this morning. I'm going to come down to the bottom down here and talk to April. You just let the Lord do His thing here. But we're going to try to transition it just a little bit into a testimony. The ladies who were here yesterday heard from April Hunt. And just to kind of preface, you may be seated. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Just to preface that, just keep playing if you don't mind, Chrissy, if you don't mind. Just kind of keep the spirit, keep this presence. The presence of the Lord is here. And I don't want to hinder anything. Hey, listen, I've done this long enough to know that He has an agenda above and beyond my agenda, but I don't really even have an agenda. I have an agenda, but it's like, who cares, right? We want what God wants. How many wants what God wants in this house? Okay. Well, as I listened to April's testimony, we know the testimony. We're part of her story. But as I listened to it yesterday, I mean, I just couldn't help April but to cry and to watch and hear Lexi Grace sing. It's a powerful testimony. And Johnny and April, part of our last church in Louisiana, in Rayville. And she shared some of that. She's going to come, and I'm going to meet her down here. We're going to let her just share something with you before I preach. And I just want you to be open, because this is what God can do in a life that's willing to lay it down for His glory. So it's an awesome presence in here. And so I just want you to open your heart to receive. And then we're going to go right. Now, don't get too comfortable, because as soon as I get to preaching, we're going to pull you right back up and we're going to sing a little bit. Chrissy and I worked on this week. I felt like, you know, last week I sang a song. Didn't I sing a song? How many of y'all sang with me last week? to all three of you. Well, this week, this week it's going to be all inclusive. So you say, well, what if I don't know it? Oh, the word's going to be up there, Chrissy? No, the word's not going to be up there. But the song is old enough, I think you're going to figure it out. And I think you can learn it pretty quickly. But we're going to give God praise. I don't know why you came today except for two reasons. One, to give God praise. Yes? One, to give God praise. And number two, to hear the word of the Lord. And you know what? We can pack up and go home right now because we've already heard from the Lord. Man, you know, it's not very often that God speaks. But and when he does speak, it's not very often that he speaks pretty specific in a whole group that is a generic group, corporate group. But today he did. And the text and what he said was in my text today. Galatians chapter 4. Who has bewitched you? And another version says, who has stolen your joy? So God has spoken what he's already spoken. Does that make any sense? So we could dismiss and go home right now.
We sure could.
Except for the fact that not all of you responded to the spoken word. So, you know, you could be traditionally trained. You know, in church we're trained. We tell you when to stand and you do, so kindly stand. And we tell you when to sit and you're just about as Catholic as I was. If I would tell you to kneel, it's, I mean, maybe not. But we train ourselves in this habitual behavior of activity of worship. And we forget that it's more than mechanics. This is God moving in our midst. It's very, very personal. It's very exciting. And so April, come, baby. I want you to come. You and Lexi Grace, and she can come with you, or she can sit, whatever she wants to do. But this is April Hunt. I want you to welcome her today. She's going to share with you something.
Good morning. It was we had an incredible time yesterday at the women's luncheon. It's an honor to be asked to come here with Brother Ron and Sister Moran. That's who they will eternally be to me. I feel like I know her name is Melissa, but like I can't bring myself to just call her Melissa. Let me tell you about a little 18-year-old girl that walked into a little Assembly of God church in a town of about 2,000 people, October of 1998. I told one of your little intern, I don't know where he is, I'm going to pick on him, because I told him, he said, oh, you've known the Morans for a while, right? I said, yeah, my husband and I were saved in premarital counseling in the 90s. And he goes, oh, that's when I was born. I was like, thanks. Okay. It seems like a long time ago, but then in a moment, I can be reminded, just sitting here with them and hearing him, I can be reminded of the moment that I walked into that little church. And let me tell you, my husband and I, neither one were raised in a Christian home. We didn't know anything about church. We didn't know anything about Jesus. We didn't know anything about the Bible. But we came into this church and we heard the word of God preached. And I'll say we didn't get saved the first day. We didn't just lay it all down that moment. But God had ordained a specific plan for us. And Brother Ron agreed to do our wedding. We were about to get married, 18 and 19-year-old kids, just fell in love and wanted to spend the rest of our lives together. We came from broken homes. All four of our parents have been divorced 3 times each. Just dysfunction is what we came from. And Brother Ron said, sure, I'll marry you. Three sessions of premarital counseling at least, though. We got to get some time in with me. And that very first meeting, we met, and he found out that we were living together, that we didn't know the Lord. And he just laid out the most basic gospel message for us and spoke directly to our hearts. And that day, we gave our life to the Lord. And that was October 28th, 1998. 6 months later, we were filled with the Holy Spirit, and within a month after that, my husband felt the call to preach, and we said, we're not from a Christian family. We don't know any preachers. What do we do? God, what do we do? You know what Brother Ron said? You go to CBC. That's what you do, because that's where God lives. Well, let me tell you, we were born and raised in this little town of 2,000 people. We had never been outside of our little town, and the Lord just orchestrated a plan for us to move, and we picked up everything that we owned and put it in the church van, which he sent us in And we moved our little selves to CBC. And God began to just open doors. My husband began to preach in different places. And God grew us. We were established in the church, Brighton Assembly of God, north of Springfield here. And we youth pastored for almost 13 years. And now we're lead pastoring a church in Fairhope, Alabama. And I can tell you that I told them last night, we pastor a church of almost 600 people. I mean, you think about Ravel, this little bitty town. But I told the ladies yesterday, I said, it just so happened that we walked in a church. And it just so happened that he was willing to do the wedding. And it just so happened that he probed and asked the right questions to find out about our lives. And it just so happened that God had a plan. And it's not about me. It is. It is about me. He cared so much about me. And he cared so much about Johnny that he wanted to meet us and encounter us so that we could spend eternity with him. But it's about more than that. Because his legacy lives through us. And our legacy lives through countless lives that we have touched in the last 15 years of ministry. And it will continue. As long as there's breath in my lungs, it will continue. And I am so thankful. Many of you may not even know my 13-year A 13-year-old of a 13-year-old, Alexi Grace is 11. I have a 10-year-old. He was dedicated right here at Oak Grove. So Oak Grove kind of holds a special place in my heart too. But I know that you know this. I hope that you know this. I know you know because you just sent them to Israel. But you have the most incredible, incredible pastors. Their legacy is all across the United States. Love them and cherish them and take care of them as long as the Lord allows them to be here. I'm sorry, I get emotional sometimes. But I'm just so blessed beyond measure of what God would do in my life. And I'm just a nobody from nowhere that he chose to touch. Thank you for allowing me to be here today.
Come on, somebody shout unto the Lord. It was good. It is good to be in God's house. You never know. You just never know. Turn to your neighbor and say, you never know. You never know. I tell my class on Wednesday night all the time, can you imagine if somebody would have picked me up on a church bus? I'd have probably went through two or three youth pastors at least. I know I would have hurt somebody. Yes, rambunctious is a good word. But Johnny, if you've seen Johnny, we had him come here on January and lead worship for us. Him and April came a few years ago and kicked our year off with worship, and he preached. But Johnny, can any good thing come out of Louisiana? I'm just telling you. That's what Jesus' family and friends and the high priest and the uppity thought about that. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Town of 50 people, the size of a football field, 100 yards, the size of the whole town. But Mary, I'm going to save that for Christmas. Let's talk about something else. The Holy Spirit is here. Thank you, April, for coming. Thank you, Lexi Grace. And thank you for obeying the call of God on your life. And let's see what's happening, my brother. We're in a joy-filled series, a joy-filled life. How many of you feel like you're getting your bounce back, you're getting your joy back? I mean, maybe you lost it, but maybe you lost the edge, and maybe you lost your joy, or somebody took your smile. You still have your joy, but you lost your laugh. You know what? It's easy to do. And I felt like the Lord had prompted me to do that for this season. And it's amazing because it's supposed to come out of Philippians, but we have departed from Philippians quite often. Because I know that Philippians has a theme of joy, a lot about joy in Philippians. But you know, the main reason for the book to be written was not just a theme of joy. Joy is just a byproduct of what Paul's dealing with in the Philippian church. And so this is lesson number 4, and I have entitled it, Let All the Earth Rejoice. Would you say that? Let all the earth rejoice. And it's Mission Sunday, so we have the globe and all the world around it. I tell you, the goal of our God is to get the whole world. I said, let the glory of the Lord cover the earth. Amen? Until the glory of the Lord covers the earth, we are not done. And so may all the earth rejoice. And Philippians 4:4, I'll give you one so you can think we're still in Philippians. And then I'll give you the other one. Take it away. Okay. Philippians 4:4-5. Rejoice in the Lord always. And what? Oh, my goodness. Y'all going to have to help me here. Let's read it all together like Catholics, okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Would you say that last part? The Lord is at hand. Does anybody believe that? This is a command. Hey, Paul's saying, hey, listen, get excited, get happy, get filled with the Spirit, get full of joy. Let all men see that because the Lord is at hand. Now let's look to Psalm 97 now. We started our series off talking about David and how he vacillated into joy and out of joy. But I want you to catch this today because is Philippians 97 up there? See, look at this. The Lord reigns. Will the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of islands of the sea be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Wow. A fire goes before our God and burns up his enemies round about him. His lightning lights the world. The earth sees it and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. You, O Lord, are most high above all the earth. You're exalted far above all gods. How many believe that? You, O Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints, for he delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Rejoice in the Lord. Three things. Go ahead. Y'all in a hurry, so let's get excited. Number one, pursue a perspective of joy. You can leave it there for a while because I got a lot to do. Hey, hey. God wants us to see his glory. Last week we talked about a reverse perspective of joy so that we see the joy that we can bring God that will reciprocate back to us. So three things you must do. Number one is to pursue a perspective of joy. A lot of people want God and they get maybe God and salvation. They get the basics. But how many of you have ever been to Dairy Queen? Can I see your hand if you've been to Dairy Queen? Okay, what about Andy's? Andy's? Whoa, everybody filled with the Spirit said, Dairy Queen would be Baptist, Assemblies of God would be Andes. Well, you go, you know, some of you might get plain vanilla ice cream, but I always ask for the extra stuff. How many ask for the extra stuff? Well, one time I went to Dairy Queen, I just asked for the extra stuff because I had already had some ice cream. And I was just going to put the extra stuff on top of my already had ice cream. And they said, sorry, we don't sell extra stuff unless you buy the Blizzard. I said, you mean I got to have the Blizzard before you give me the extra stuff? Can I tell you, many times we talk about joy as extra stuff. When I want you to know, it's the whole Blizzard. It is the whole. If you don't get nothing out of this, it is the whole thing. It's the whole thing. It's not like something you add to. It is every bit a part of it. And that's how we do it. I read the story of a little boy who used to escape his bedroom after being punished. And he would crawl out of his bedroom window down the old fruit tree to the ground. One day his father told him he was going to chop down that fruit tree because it hadn't borne any fruit for a number of years. That evening, the boy and his friend bought a bushel of apples during the night, tied those apples to that barren branches of that tree. The next morning, the man could not believe his eyes. He said to his wife, "Honey, I can't believe it. That old tree hasn't bore any fruit for years, and now it's covered with apples." She said, "Wow." He said, "Yeah. And the most amazing thing is it's a pear tree." Hey, you came full. I said, you came full, Mother Nature, right? I want you to understand something here. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you can't fake it. You can't try to tie up some apples on a barren tree and act like you got something going on. Joy is the real deal. Joy doesn't come because you conjure up enough music and beat the drums about, you know. And you know, and many times in church, we're like cheerleaders. Come on, come on. You know, get the marching band out. Maybe we'll get somebody excited. If it's not in you, it's not coming out of you. And so the first thing you need to do is get saved. Because it's joy of your salvation. David, when he fell away from God, he came and he said, "Renew unto me." The what? The joy of my salvation. It comes from being saved. Everybody here today, if you're saved, you ought to give God a praise and a shout. Right now, you ought to give him praise. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Somebody ought to praise the Lord for that. So we can't pretend. God doesn't want us to pretend. And we're not putting a mask on. That's not what we're talking about. If we don't have the joy God intends for us to have, find out why. So the first thing is you have to pursue the perspective of joy. Because the Lord reigns. Because the Lord reigns. In a few minutes, we're going to sing this song, "The Lord Reigns," okay? And I want to get all of you involved. But it starts with a vision. Often in the world of chaos we live in, it appears that God's not in control. And we watch the news and we see ISIS, 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 ISIS. You know what? God is bigger than ISIS. And God hath not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Who is this ISIS that he should steal my joy? You see what I'm saying? And we look at the world and the condition of the world, and we walk in fear. But David said, "Hey, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for the presence of the Lord is still with me." I never felt so secure as when I was in the Middle East. You know why? More machine guns there than I've ever seen in my life. You just let somebody mess with Israel, they'll be dead ducks. They're not afraid of ISIS or anybody looks like ISIS. And so the headlines declare an evil day. Events of our lives spin out of control so fast, and many people are uncertain what decisions to make, or some things have been decided for you. And I know some things may have happened to you to try to rob you of your personal joy, your inward joy. But life is tough for many. I understand that. And we live with the downside effect of what others have done to us. But there are injustices that happen in life. It just isn't fair. And sometimes you wake up and you wonder, is there any sanity in this world at all? Is anything for certain or for sure? I say, yes, the Lord reigns. How many here believe that the Lord reigns? Let the earth rejoice. The Lord's still in control. Doesn't matter if your commander-in-chief responds or not. I mean, oh, the real commander-in-chief's still in charge. It's not a political issue, friend. God's still on the throne. It's a spiritual issue. In fact, I'd go so far as to say the world we're facing and the war we're facing is not a political war. It's a holy war. It's a spiritual thing. Yes, it is. Read your Bible and you can see it. But the Lord reigns. I said, blessed be his name. We do not praise God for evil things done down here. It's not charismaniasm. You know how charismaniacs are. I remember back in Louisiana, we had a hurricane coming. And we was at the charismatic church. And they said, praise the Lord, a hurricane's coming. I mean, no, that's insanity. You know, praise the Lord, a hurricane's coming. You know, when a hurricane comes, I go. You don't have to tell me twice. I'm on the highway. I'm out of here. Board up the windows, and I'm gone. You can have my house and my boat and my car. I don't even have a boat, but you could have it if I had one. My horse, my dog. Maybe not my dog. I love my dog. I'm just trying to tell you, we live with all this stuff and we forget the Lord reigns. So we don't praise God for evil things. We don't praise God for evil things. We praise God in the midst of things. praise Him, for He is sovereign over all things. I don't know if you've ever been in a service where the glory of God comes down. I mean, when the Spirit of God falls, there's liberty, there's victory, there's joy in the house. Nobody wants to leave. You blink the lights off and on. Get out of here, God's people. Get out of here. But nobody wants to go home. And they're not talking about their problems. They're not talking about the problems. Because in the presence of the Lord, fullness of joy. We're like styrofoam cups next to a, big tub of water. The tub of water is the joy of the Lord. And we're the styrofoam cup. You got to be in it. You got to get in the presence of the Lord to get the results of the joy. And so it's important that you get the perspective. So you may be seated. Let me go ahead and try to finish this, and we can come back to the altar. Thank you, Chrissy. Thank you, Josiah. They just picked that up on a whim. I just want you to get this because we've disciplined ourselves to see the things as God does. Remember last week? We reversed it, so we said God is a God of joy. He has that. He is that. He is, in essence, joy. He doesn't create an emotion. He is joy. Right? And so when you get in God, you get into joy. And that's why I never seen so many unhappy believers in all my life. How can that be? The only thing I can conclude is that you're not in God. As you get in God, you're going to be in joy. And you can enjoy God because you're in Him. In Him you live and you move and you have your being. It's not like you add God to your agenda once a week and go to church. Every bit of your fiber of your being is wrapped up, tied up in God. I'm all about whatever He wants for me, right? And so it's important you catch this, because when you get that perspective, things can change. And we don't look from down here up there. We look from up there down here. See the reverse? It's important. But we look from God to our situation. Right? And get His joy. So we look not on our surrounding and difficulties, but to what God sees and says. We look up there. David said it like this: I look toward the hills from whence my help comes. My help comes from the Lord, from the maker of heaven and earth. Then he goes on, the creator of everything. He sustains all things because He created all things, and all things were created by Him. Anything that was not created was created by Him. And by Him, all things are sustained. He not only created the earth, He sustains it. He keeps the lights on. I said the one who spoke things into existence keeps things running. And so it's important that you see it from His perspective. All of a sudden, your little problems become small. Now, rest assured, evidence of His reign are not always easily seen with the physical eyes, so we must pursue it. So that's why I want to look at Psalm 97, verses 2 through 5, real quickly, verses 2 through 5. It describes the visionary perspective we need. It's not the clouds. I mean, we see it. If you want to back it up and just put it on the verses 2 through 5, they can see what I'm talking about. Verses 2 through 5. Clouds and darkness surround Him. You see that? A fire goes before Him, burns up His enemies round about. The lightning lights the world, and the earth sees and trembles. What I'm submitting to you is that the earth sees the wrong thing. It's not the mountain and the fire and the smoke. You don't have to be afraid of God. God is in that. But that's not who He is. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's His way of letting us see Him, because no man can see God and live. These are just theophanies. These are manifest presence of God, right? And Abraham sees the burning furnace and the smoke. All of these things at Sinai, you see smoke. And Elijah on the mountain sees the wind and the fire. It's because God's trying for you to see Him. He wants you to see. How many glad God wants you to see Him? He's trying to use tangible ways for you to get a spiritual vision. And so many times, this is a visionary perspective we need. It's not the clouds, the thick darts. It's His throne that we need to see. We need to see Him around His throne. And many times the world sees the lightning and the fire and forget who it is that brings the lightning, who it is that causes the smoke. And we become afraid. And instead of going toward God and getting in His presence, we move away from God. Do you remember the Israelites? When Moses said, Moses, no, Moses, you go up into the mountain with God and not us. What do you think they're doing? Looking back at the fire and the smoke and, you know, the clouds. And they're saying, no, no, he's too awesome and mighty. And they had the wrong fear of God. Remember, we talked about joy comes from having a right fear of God, a right view of God. So he's not a mean God, but smoke and fire and beat you and kill you. All going to hell. Rapture's coming and nobody's going. You know, I mean, really, who wants to join us for that picnic? So we describe in church, and many preachers preach, a mean God that's coming to judge you and everybody looks like you. And you're lucky if you make it. You're lucky if you make it. Come to church and maybe you'll make it. That's not the God I see. I see a God of love and mercy and kindness. I see a God of grace. And listen, he will. To be God, he has to be just. So how many know there is a day coming? The day of the Lord is at hand. But the way we win this world is not by saying, there's a day coming, you're not going to make it. If you would have told me when I was a sinner that there's a day of judgment coming and I'm not going to make it, I would say, well, thank you for helping me. I don't even have to go through the process. Give me another beer. Why should I try if God's going to damn me at the end? And so, in fact, some people believe that you're selected to be damned. Did you know some people actually believe that you are predetermined? And I tell those people, well, why, if you know something I don't know, let me know. Because I'm going to party right on down to hell. If you're predetermining my death and hell, then I don't have nothing to live to God for. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Please don't misunderstand me. There will be a judgment, but God's helping you to make it on the winning side. Hey, listen, he's helping you to get on the winning side, not the losing side. And if you lose before you ever start the race, I'm not running. I don't like to run. I'm not built to run. I don't even want to run. And most runners run early in the morning, and I'm not feeling God. And if you're going to tell me everybody's going to win that race, you're going to be in last place and you're going to lose, I'm not running. There's no motivation for me. I didn't have a lot to start with. And we go to sinners, and we try to blindside them. Come see my lights and come see the smoke and come see. They don't need to see the lights and the smoke. They need to see Jesus. They need to see the joy of God. They need to see the love of God. They need to see the church get excited. It's time for the church to live again. It's time for the church to have the life Jesus promised. If you don't have the life Jesus promised, I don't want it. I don't see it. So you go into a church service, and some people go, so with the pastor, I'm not the kind of person that has joy. I'm just not the kind of joyful person. You're joyful because your personality is joyful. No, no, no. I'm joyful because Jesus lives in me. And so, no, you, pastor, your personality is like, you could be joyful if you were in hell. No, no, no. Let me tell you what. Nobody's having a party in hell. Don't you, hey, young people, you think it's a party spirit here and you're going to party for eternity? Oh, no, no. As soon as the lights go out, the party's over. There's pleasure in the world for a season, and then comes the judgment. But I think the church has forgot the pleasure that we have in God. Man, if we can revive the church, we can begin to see that it's the mountains are not the issue. We cannot imagine a God who can make the mountains melt like wax. I'm saying get your eyes on the sovereign Lord who reigns. And when we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, you see it all, including that day when the invisible becomes visible. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, Miss Chrissy's favorite scripture. She can quote it by heart. I'm not going to put her on the spot. I'll go ahead and read it for you. You ready for it? Can you do it? All right, stand up and tell them, baby. Yeah, 17:18. That's right. The one you know. Stand and say it, I dare you. Double dog dare you. Come on, somebody. That's what I'm talking about. Take that, devil. We need to see the year of the favor of the Lord. I mean, if you wake up every morning and you're in defeat before you ever start your day, how are you going to have joy? You've lost perspective. Then the Christian life. In fact, many young people who come to Christ, they say, I'm going to wait until I get older. In fact, April mentioned that later. I'm so young. She mentioned it yesterday. I'm so young. We still got a lot of partying to do, me and Johnny, right? And so the mindset is, I've got a lot of living to do. Why should I become a Christian prune like the rest of them? Sit there and sour and look at the preacher. I got to pay my tithe. Oh, we got to go to church on Wednesday night. We got to go to church on Sunday night. I wish we wouldn't have so much church. Well, why do you think we have so much evil in the world? In fact, Hebrews says you need to get to church more often. So much more as you see the day of the Lord approaching because, hey, thank God you went to church when you were little. It saved you from disaster. I wish I could have, but nobody had picked me up on the bus. They must have knew who I was. So you look up there. Number two, you pursue the presence of joy. Okay, the presence of joy. All the people said, let's see his glory. Let all the people see his glory. So watch this. When you look up and see who he really is, he's not the mountain and the smoke. He is the power and presence of God. And then when you look out, when you look out to where you live, you realize that he is inviting you into his presence. He values you. When all the people see his glory. And then those who worship wooden images, he said, are put to shame. Verses 6 and 7. So only those who dwell in Zion. Look at this. Only those who dwell in Zion. Since I've been to Israel lately, I read the Bible differently. It's not all it's made up to be in our Western mindset. I mean, really, it's not big at all. A little slither of land in the Middle East is where God's people are now and forever will be. It's kind of like April said, we were from Rayville. I mean, God called me to Rayville. I said, where? It's not even on the map. I had to go look at it. So it's really a place. It's a dot. And sometimes the picture is of a small village in Judah where we feel disconnected from the world, from where you are, or would rather be. It's kind of a wilderness place. How can God's presence come into this little bitty place, the lostness of this world? Can I ask you, from where you're sitting right now, has news reached your heart that Jesus is the victor over death, hell, and the grave? I mean, from your tiny little village, from your little tribe and people, has the good news of Jesus Christ reached your village? Has it reached your heart? Do you understand that God cared about you just as much as he cared about Johnny and April and Ron and Melissa? Do you understand? He wakes up in the morning waiting for you to get up. He loves you and desires for you to be in his presence. He longs to be with you when you miss your prayer time. He misses your prayer time. He instigated first. I said, the man always instigates the relationship. Women who instigate relationships are looking for something they shouldn't be. Men instigate the relationship. And that's why when I asked Melissa on the first date, very nervous, very scared, I said, Miss Melissa, are you going to the Christmas dance with anybody? And she said, no. I said, then you and I are going to go, okay? Hey! A guaranteed yes, Randy. A guaranteed yes. You boys need to talk to me. I'll show you how to talk to them. You don't leave the option open for no. She's like, I guess so. I said, okay, pick you up at 8. God pursues you. How many thankful he pursued you? Like the Holy Ghost, he comes and woos you and pursues you. He gives you his loving kindness, and people come into the kingdom and repent by the loving kindness of God, not the judgments of God. Usually the judgments of God run people off. It's the kindness of God, the goodness of God, that woos people in, starts the relationship. Say, I love you, therefore you love me, right? You get to my joy remains in you, your joy will be full. What God is saying is if you get anything from me and put it into you, you're going to be all right. But if you get your joy and love and anything, pleasures from the world, you're going to be empty and void and lost and confused, trying to connect the dots, but you can't because you're disconnected from the world. But if you do know Jesus is your Lord, how many say he is Lord God Almighty? If so, rejoice, for he constantly and certainly can give you the victory over your tough place. In your small village where you live, you got to see the big picture, that the Lord reigns over all the earth, and all the people are to see the glory of God and rejoice. So he says, quit worshiping dead gods and false idols. I said, Pastor, I don't worship dead gods and false idols. Really? Really? I don't have my cell phone with me. But do you spend more time on your iPhone than you do in the presence of the Lord? Do you spend more time in front of the TV than in the presence of the Lord? Do you spend more time on anything? Oh, it's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. I'm just saying. Don't make me get convicted, Pastor. I'm going to go find them other churches that preach all that fuzzy stuff. And finally, let me tell you this, because you're getting excited and ready to go. After you see them out there, him up there, them out there, the lost, those who are worshiping idols, they don't know how to rejoice because they have no response from a dead stone God. There's no relationship. Then thirdly, you got to participate. You got to participate in the pleasure of joy. You got to participate. I don't know about you, but at Christmas time, how many of you get more joy in watching people open the gifts than you open your own gifts? How many? How many? It's more blessed to give than to receive. You got so much joy watching. When I used to watch the girls open up presents, man, they just rip it. And they're different personalities. Tori was like undoing the paper because he was like. It's fun. You got to see the right thing. You got to look down here. So you look down here. Verse 10 shows you our responsibility. It's very simple. Love God and hate evil. Love God and hate evil. Pretty simple. That you look down and say, once you see the Lord up there and the lost out there, you have a responsibility down here, right? And so it's like prisoners of war who know their side has already won. You know, tomorrow we celebrate the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And thank God for our military. Would you come and help me salute our military? Come on, let's thank God and appreciate our military who take care of us and protect us. But on that day, December 7th, let me just tell you, it was a surprise attack that launched us into the Second World War. Could happen again. And maybe we won't be sleeping in surprise, but awakening. And let's flip it. Let's flip it spiritually. Do you know Satan goes about trying to attack you in surprise ways while you're sleeping, rocked to sleep? And I believe in the 21st century church has been rocked to sleep by self-centeredness and me-ism and my church and my stuff and my, do you have this? I call the church, hey, do you have bowling alley? No, we don't have a bowling alley. We're a church! The battlefield just opened up another bowling alley. We don't do bowling. We do Jesus. You want to work out? Go work out at the gym. We're here to build your spirit. Fat people can go to heaven too. I wish all the fat people just help me out right now. Come on now. Oh, glory to God. Oh, that's the best amen I got all day. Who's on the Lord's side? We already won. It's a matter of time. The commander-in-chief is coming. The Lord is at hand. Rejoice. Prisoners of war, POWs sitting in the war. War is over. The war is over. How many know it's already been won? Jesus, I said on the cross, Jesus took care of sin, death, hell, and the grave. The blood of Jesus conquered the enemy. The war is over. It is finished. And yet we have POWs sitting there waiting to be rescued. You don't have to wait in grief and mourning. You wait in joy. How many know the Lord is at hand? I see John on the Isle of Patmos. He said, you might try to boil me in oil, but go ahead and get it over with because the Lord is coming. The commander-in-chief knows right where I'm at. Paul's in the Philippian jail. Said, go ahead and kill me. The Lord is on his way. So I don't know what you're facing this morning, Chrissy. Come back. Give them a little hope. Because they get excited when you come back to the platform, it's almost over. The Lord's coming to us. But while we wait, we need to live in such a way that is consistent with our status as citizens of heaven. Verse 10 said, let those who love God hate evil. That's for us, people. Watching your attitude. Because your attitude will determine your altitude. How high you go in joy is determined by your attitude. If you stay low and defeated and depressed, you won't get much joy out of that. All you see is the mountains and the fire and the smoke. You never see God. What did they say in the New Testament? We would that they would see Jesus. Not the synagogue, not the preacher, not the pews and the band and the music. They would see Jesus. If you see Jesus, how many know everything's going to change? It's not on the outward things that are temporary, but eternal. Weight of glory. Sometimes evil comes disguised as light, and we don't have enough spiritual perception. I believe my point today is that we need to get full of the Holy Spirit enough to see behind the mask of Satan. We need the Spirit to see it, recognize that the evil schemes and war against it. How many know we need to turn our attention? We go into worship, look up. Evangelism, looking out. And we understand that warfare is looking in. Who is it that's bewitched you? Who stole your joy? The Lord has asked us that already this morning. Would you stand with me? Because this is for real. The scriptures here tell us, especially if the evil is in your inward parts personally, inward attitudes develop outward actions. So verse 11 says, light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. So many people understand worship, but they forget warfare. So it's a combination, serving God and walking in the presence and the will of God. It's a combination of worship balanced out with warfare. So you got to see it coming. You got to get your perception. What is this? Is this from the Lord? Is this in the will of God? Is this in the word of God? If it is, then I can do it. If it isn't, I need to hate it and run from it. Flee it. So too many times we begin our prayers by describing our mess we're in rather than seeing the Spirit's vision. So get his perspective of joy. Get in the presence of joy, which is in with God, and then participate in the purpose of joy. Participate in the joy of the Lord. If I listen to music from above instead of the complaints from below, then I can do what this psalm asked me to do in verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord because you are not happy when you focus on defeat. But wherever I go, I said, wherever I go in this life, the psalmist said in Psalm 139, he said, Lord, whether I go to the highest parts of heaven or the lowest parts of hell, you are there. There's no place the psalmist could go that he's not in the presence of the Lord. So he just changes his attitude to fit his perception. I see God. And down here, I have to rejoice as I do warfare against the world, the flesh, and the devil. So let the joy above you move you into the problem. Let the joy above you move into your present problem below you. In the presence of the Lord, he will eradicate. Not your problem. He will eradicate your attitude about the problem. Problems come and problems go. But how you respond in the middle of it all, that is how you get the victory. So I want you to come to the altar today. This is a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So anytime scripture repeats scripture, it's kind of emphatic. Hey, rejoice in the Lord all the time, no matter what you're going through, Philippians. And again, I say, rejoice. Do you know you can get depressed watching the news? So you need to be balancing out what you allow into your ears, even more what you let in your spirit. Because what you let in is what you're going to get out. And if all you do is listen to negative, 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 negative's coming out. How many's ready to put some worship in your spirit? Come on now. The altar's open. I want you to come join.